Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I am going to deal for a few minutes in light of the fact that this is the time of year it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, in verse number 17, the second half of the verse, what you would typically say is part B, the second part of the verse there, is the phrase that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 4 days from now, our country is going to celebrate Independence Day. Some will spend this day with loved ones. Others will take the opportunity to get away from some loved ones. Hundreds of thousands of people will gather in their backyards and crank up their grill to take part in that great American pastime of a backyard barbecue with friends and family. They're going to do this to participate in this joyous occasion. They'll probably, after dinner, at least together, light off some type of fireworks. Or maybe they'll go and partake of a public display, maybe a parade, or they'll go watch a public display of fireworks in celebration of Independence Day. All of these amazing things that we have the freedom to do here in America, is because of what happened in 1776, when 56 representatives of the 13 colonies met with Congress and drafted the Declaration of Independence. The second sentence of this great document holds the most famous words memorized by almost every child in the schools of America and certainly held dear in the heart of every true patriot of this great land. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we, 243 years later, still get to enjoy the freedoms that were declared by this great document. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As America, as a nation, we have been a group of people that have always stood, should say, for the majority of our nation's history, we stood for life. We stood for life. We as a nation value life. Just recently, the Iranians shot down one of our drones over their country, and you ever saw the news, you saw that President Trump said, well, there was no loss of American lives. Although this plane or this drone was worth millions and millions of dollars, I think into the hundreds of millions of dollars that these things cost, that wasn't as valuable as the loss of one American life. We as a nation have always valued life, understanding that it is a gift from God. And I can't help but at least beg your indulgence for a second as we ask God to forgive us for falling by the wayside in this category as a nation where we have ceased to value the life of the unborn. We as a nation are surely in danger of the judgment of God because we've ceased to value the life of those that are defenseless and can't stand for themselves. Even though, on the other hand, we as a nation would stand for freedom around the world, for some reason we've lost sight of the value of the life of the unborn. But as a nation, we've stood for life. We've stood for the pursuit of happiness. And sadly, in America, the pursuit of happiness has reached a point where that has replaced God. We've gotten to the place where it is the pursuit of my own happiness above all else, and even at the loss or sacrifice of other person's happiness. And that was never what it was intended to be. But this morning, I want to take a few minutes and look at this middle part of that statement, where we as a nation have enjoyed liberty. Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let me talk to you for a couple of minutes about some of the symbols of liberty in our country. There are some symbols of liberty, one not too far from here in Liberty Hall in Philadelphia. There stands, supported by two large oak posts, the Liberty Bell. That Liberty Bell was commissioned in 1752 and brought to the Americas here to be rung as Congress would gather, actually brought into the Philadelphia area where they would meet. And sadly, shortly after its arrival, it cracked. They tried to fix it a couple of times, but it wasn't going to hold up. And so they decided, well, we can't ring this all the time, but we'll ring it for special occasions. And the Liberty Bell would toll its chimes of freedom for special events. However, during World War II, it rang for the last time. Even though the bell's chimes can't be heard for freedom around the world, the proclamation that's given, etched in the iron there, is still proclaimed. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10 is etched in it. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." Proclaim liberty through all the land. America has stood as a symbol of liberty for the world over. Some may not like America. Some mock and ridicule. They may criticize America, but never before in the history of the world has there been a nation that has experienced the level of liberty for the length of time that America has. It has never happened before. No nation has been able to sustain or keep the measure of liberty that America has had the privilege of enjoying. We have the Liberty Bell, and also standing above the waves, 300 feet, is the torch atop Lady Liberty. Lady Liberty there in New York Harbor. I cannot help but think of those who were longing and searching for freedom, who, after months and maybe years of planning and saving money and looking to the possibility of maybe being able to get to that land, that's free, to the land where they have liberty, and they work and they slave and they work and they try so hard to gather together some funds, they get into a ship, a boat, and they ride in a boat anywhere from 6 to 14 weeks to cross the ocean, depending upon the storms, literally at the mercy of the wind and waves. And I can only imagine, after all that planning and all that waiting and all that eagerness, coming into New York Harbor. And can you imagine with me? I mean, I know today we see so many sights, and we are connected with the rest of the world so easily, and we get to behold the magnificent things men have built. But think with me back then, how magnificent of a sight it must have been for them, longing for freedom, to come into New York Harbor and see this Statue of Liberty standing there, 300 feet above the water surface, standing as a beacon of light, of freedom, and the joy that must have overcome them, and the victory for finally having reached this land. What an amazing symbol of liberty. What is the significance of this liberty that we have? I want you to understand that it is never meant to be a freedom to do as we please. This liberty is never meant to be a right to do whatever you want, a right to act as you want, a right to say what you want. That is not the liberty that we have. We have a liberty to live and to abide inside the laws of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That is one of the key things I believe that made America great, is that although we had liberty, men didn't take this liberty to fulfill their own lust and desires. Men didn't take the liberty to do what they wanted to do, but they fulfilled that verse where they said, "By love, serve one another." We as a nation loved our neighbors, and we did unto them as we would have them do unto us. And we served one another. There was a kind of American way of being a help to each other and lifting each other up and pulling the guy up out of the gutter and being there for your friend and being there for your family and standing strong in the face of adversity. This kind of liberty is what we had. 1 Corinthians 8 verse number 9 says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." We've been given liberty, but it was never meant to just do whatever we want to do with it. We read the verse, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The reason that we have such amazing liberty in America is because of the fact that this country was founded on the Word of God. Amen. This country was founded on biblical Christian principles. Right. And the Spirit of God was present in our country. Not that the country was perfect. This country has made some mistakes, and there's some marks on its history that we wish were not there. And we can look back and we wonder how anybody who claims the name of Christ could possibly justify or think that that was acceptable or okay. It's not acceptable. It's not okay. But as a whole, this country was, in fact, trying to serve God, trying to follow the Lord, trying to establish a country that would be based on biblical principles. Andy Rooney wrote this: "I have sat in the Supreme Court of the United States, and I have a question for you. Did you know that as you walk up the steps to the building of the House of the U.S. Supreme Court, atop the building there is a row of the world's lawgivers, and they are facing the middle, facing one individual. It is Moses, and he's holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know that as you enter the Supreme Court, there's two huge oak doors, and they have inscribed upon them the Ten Commandments? Did you know that as you sit inside the courtroom, you can look at the wall right above the Supreme Court judge, and there is displayed the Ten Commandments? Did you know that there are Bible verses etched in the stone all over the federal buildings and the monuments all around Washington, D.C.? Did you know that James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made this statement: 'We have staked the whole of our political institution upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God.' Did you know Patrick Henry, that patriot and the founding father of our country, said, 'It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ.'" Amen. Patrick Henry said that. A founding father. Did you know that the very first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers"? Right. What I'm saying is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as a nation, the Spirit of the Lord was present here. And that is why, as a nation, we enjoy the great, tremendous liberties and freedoms that we have in our country today, because the Spirit of the Lord was here. This is why we enjoy these freedoms, and we proclaim the liberty of Christ throughout the world. We realize that our rights and liberties are given to us by God. Can I give you some of the stalwarts of liberty of bygone times? Those that stood for liberty. Historically, there's always been brave men and women who have stood for liberty. George Washington, he said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of an almighty God and to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor." There's been great men through the ages, like Wentworth Cheswell, who rode with Paul Revere. There's Molly Pitcher, who received her nickname Molly Pitcher because she carried water to the men in the middle of battle at great risk to herself. She would grab pitchers of water out of the stream and carry them up into the battle to provide water for the men to drink. She would take her pitchers of water and cool the cannons as they would overheat and they couldn't continue to fire. In the middle of the battle, Molly Pitcher was providing water to everybody, although when her husband was wounded in battle and fell by his cannon and could no longer shoot his cannon, Molly Pitcher stood, took up his ram, took up his rifle, and for the remainder of the battle, she fired his cannon until they won victory. There is an account of Molly Pitcher standing at the cannon, reloading the cannon. And somebody says they watched as a cannonball from the enemy went through the center of her legs. Only harm that was done is it removed the bottom half of her petticoat. She continued to fight. Strong women of faith and believed in the liberty that we had. Florence Nightingale or Rosa Parks, who stood for freedom of all, who stood in the strength of God. Rosa Parks said in her own statement, she said as she was standing for the rights of people, her people, she said, "I felt the Lord would give me strength to endure whatever I had to face, and God took my fears away." Amen. Abraham Lincoln, declaring a national day of prayer and fasting following the Battle of Bull Run, said this, "It is fit and becoming of all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisement, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions, in full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to pray with all fervency and contrition for the pardon of our past offenses and for the blessing upon our present and prospective actions." You know, they may rewrite history. They may take these Christian statements out of the curriculums that are taught to young people today. But anybody with a library card, with a little bit of research, could go and find that our nation was founded with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thomas Jefferson said, "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty." And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed from their only firm basis of conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties were a gift from God? That they are not to be violated, but without his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Thomas Jefferson said that in 1781. I wonder what he would say about the condition of our country today. We know, friend, that our liberties come from God, the source of all true liberty. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The greatest source of liberty. Isaiah 61, verse number 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." This book proclaims liberty. This book proclaims the equality of all men. This book says that we're all equal at the foot of the cross. and that at the foot of the cross we can all find liberty in Jesus Christ. We proclaim freedom from bondage to all men, the freedom that God wants to give us. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, bound, but we can be freed because of what Jesus Christ did. If we seek God, He'll give you liberty. Psalms 119 says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." You want to have liberty? Seek and follow after God. We know that truth gives liberty, and this word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ came to give us liberty. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." That word bruised means literally shattered, broken to pieces. Christ came to set at liberty, to give liberty to those that are broken. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free." If you're here this morning and you've never experienced the liberty that you can have through Jesus Christ by accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you can have liberty today. But if you have experienced the liberty of Jesus Christ and you know Him as your Lord and Savior, and you know you've been forgiven of your sins, you've been set free of the bondage of sin, could I implore you today, be not entangled again with that bondage. You've been set free from sin. Galatians 5, verse number 1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free." Stand fast in that freedom. Don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. We're glad that we get to stand fast in the liberty given to us by God. One day we're going to be delivered into what the Bible calls that glorious liberty. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 20, he says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." Right now, you and I, we're bound by this old flesh. And sometimes this old flesh gets a little weak, both spiritually and physically. Amen, Matt? I mean, this old body just sometimes doesn't want to get up in the morning. Sometimes it hurts in ways and in places that you didn't even know you had muscles. I mean, you didn't even know that could hurt, and now it hurts. Brother Garland, you need to pray for him. His eyes are getting harder and harder for him to see. This old body's quitting, but right now we're in bondage. I mean, we can't just step out of it. Right now we're bound by this old body, but one day we're going to be set free in the liberty that we have from Jesus Christ in a place called heaven, where there be no more tears, and there'll be no more night, and there'll be no more pain. That day where we experience the ultimate liberty, what the Bible calls glorious liberty. I'll tell you what, every one of us can experience and have liberty from sin. Liberty from that. Have you felt weighed down by that sin? Have you felt the burden of it? Have you felt the stress of it? You just think, man, I can't get past it. That sin, it's just so hard. It has such a strong pull, and I don't know what to do. You can have liberty in Jesus Christ. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart, the Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of you. And that Spirit is there, and it'll help you have victory and give you liberty over sin in your life. You can experience and know liberty this morning. Could I encourage you this morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never experienced liberty from your sin, you can get that today. The Bible tells us how. We can take a Bible and show you exactly how you experience that liberty, that freedom. But if you have experienced that and you know that, could I encourage you, don't be entangled again. Don't get back into that bondage. Live in the liberty that God has given us. Enjoy it. And throughout this coming week, praise God for the liberty that we have as a nation as we celebrate Independence Day. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed?